Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Familiar passage of scripture. We preached different messages from this passage, and today I'll approach it in a different way. But pray that God will take it and use it for his glory. Stand, please, while I read the blessed word of God. Brother Ben was praying this morning and mentioned about the Word of God, how we have a copy of it. We ought to be thankful we have a copy of the Word of God. What a privilege it is. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. Again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doeth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's bow our heads and pray and ask God's help. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege today we have to be in the house of God. And what a privilege it is to have the Word of God and to open that book and to read. We thank you for every song's been sung. And Lord, the sweet spirit, but now comes time for preaching. And Lord, I need you. I ask you to help me. I know these folk today that are hurting. I know these folk is discouraged. These folk that have problems. These death in families and bereavement and sorrows. There are those that need help in a special way. Those that have been mentioned here today that are sick. I ask you in Jesus' name to touch and to help. But Lord, the preaching of the Word of God now with this congregation that was assembled here, I pray you'd help us, God, to be obedient. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give me that liberty that I need. I pray for the unction from on high. I ask in Jesus' name for a touch of God. I plead the blood. I plead Jesus. And I pray, God, you rebuke the devil and every imp of hell. And I pray today that you'd have your way, magnify yourself and get glory. Now, Father, I realize the fact that in myself we can do nothing. And so I stand here as an instrument in your hand and ask God for divine strength and help. And I pray the power of the Holy Ghost take that word, speak to every heart, bring conviction where it's needed. And I pray people here today that know not the Lord Jesus Christ would see their need to be saved and would come and trust Christ as their Savior. I pray for every saved person that needs help, that you deal with their lives and those that may be straying or falling afar off. Then, Lord, for every heart that needs to be encouraged, have your way, magnify yourself and get glory. And Father, again, we ask for that divine help in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. As we approach the message today, I I want to make some statements and introduction, and I'm not trying in any way to backtrack or to not stand true to the Word of God, but I realize there are times that folk have to be away from church. There's times that folk need vacation, there's times people need to be gone here or there and so forth, and need those times. And there's times that people are sick. There's times people are providentially hindered in ways that I know nothing about, but they do and God does. But I'm going to preach today and say some things, and I don't mean it to be pointed to anyone particularly, but I hope God points it to all of us in particular, that all of us may get what God wants us to have. Amen. Now, if I said that right or didn't say it right, I don't know, but I hope you got the message and that you'll hear me as I preach today, because I need a touch of God. I need God to help me. I need God to do something for me. I need God to work in my heart. I need God to help me to think. I need to be able to say what I need to say. The preaching of the Word of God is not always the easiest thing there is to do. Amen. Preaching. These times that I sit over there that I'd rather go out that door and go somewhere else and let y'all have it and me just be disappear. And maybe the rapture come and I get to go. Amen. And I disappear. Now, if you're saved, you can go with me. If you're not saved, you can't go. And so what I say today, I pray God will make it real to your heart, my heart, and help all of us in these days that we live in, that God would certainly work and do what he wants to do with us. And if I titled the message today, I titled it like this: What Are You Satisfied With? What are you satisfied with? Now, I'm going to make some statements and say some things in this message, and I pray that you hear me well and not misunderstand anything that I say, but that we may get it across, and I pray we'll be able to say it like God wants me to say it. I am concerned about the preaching of the Word of God. I am concerned about our lives today. I'm concerned about our churches today. I'm concerned about our situation today. I'm concerned about our country today. I am concerned about young people today. I'm concerned about adults today. I am concerned about our thoughts today and how we concern the Word of God, the church, the building, everything about it. I'm concerned about that we may let God help us and speak to us and deal with our hearts as he would like to do so. I'm talking to everybody. There's some people here today that probably have never made a profession of faith. There are probably people here today that's never been saved, never been born in the family of God. I do not know that, but a congregation of this size, I am sure there are unsaved in the house. You can rest assured when you get this many people together, somebody there is not really saved. And so maybe you're here and not made a profession. You may be here and never joined a church, not be a member of any church. But in particular, I'm dealing with church members today, but it may be that you are one of those that have not a church member. But if you're lost, you're in the same boat as other unsaved. And people that belong to the church and they're lost, they're in the same boat that those that's not belong to church and they're lost. If you're lost, you're just lost. Being a church member don't make you saved. It doesn't make you saved just because you go to the house of God. You can live in a barn, not make you a horse. Amen. So you can do a lot of things and not be saved. I just want you to know being saved, born in the family of God, is a real thing today. But what are you satisfied with anyhow in your life? That's a question we need to ask. Now, when we talk about being satisfied, we're talking about being contented with and that we're accepting whatever it is and that that's all right. And I don't know what you're contented with. I don't know what you're satisfied with. And I realize on one hand, and trying to say this like I feel like it needs to be said, I know the psalmist David said, I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. I realize there are some things we'll never be satisfied with until we get to heaven and see Jesus Christ, and we're in a new body, and out of this old sin-cursed body, and out of this world of sin, and we'll be satisfied. In that sense, I'm not satisfied with the things around me. I'm not satisfied with the sin. I'm not satisfied even with my own flesh. I'm not satisfied with that. But I am satisfied in Christ Jesus and what he did for me at Calvary. Amen. And I praise God for that. But I'm thinking about this thing in the light of our Christian life. And what are we satisfied with? Now, the first thing I'm going to deal with has to do with the unsaved. So if you're not really saved, I pray God speak to you. I want to see real Holy Ghost conviction come and God get a hold of your heart and that you really want to get saved and born in the family of God. I am convinced today that there are people that say they're saved that know nothing about the working of the Holy Ghost in conviction and drawing and being born in the family of God. They know what it is to join a church. They know what it is maybe to make a profession. They may know what it is to get ducked under the water, but they know nothing about what it is to really be changed and made a new creature in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and being born in the family of God. You say, preacher, you get hung up on that, don't you? I sure do. I get hung up on it because it's the only way there is to heaven. You'll never get to heaven unless you are born in the family of God. And being born in the family of God is a real thing that happens to real people. And we need to know that we are really saved and born in the family of God. We hear it over and over and over and over again. And sometimes we take it so lightly and just say, well, I know I'm saved. How you know you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? Because you feel good? That doesn't make you, they feel good and they go to the ball game. Amen. If they love ball, that is. And they go to the ball game, they can feel good. Feeling good don't mean you're saved. And knowing you're saved is a matter of faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and the Savior, and taking the Word of God and seeing what God says about being saved. And so today, as we think about this, number one, some people that are satisfied with sin. Now, let me qualify that statement because I realize that sin never really totally satisfies. The wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's found in Isaiah's prophecy. And so we realize that sin really doesn't satisfy totally, completely. We know that. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Now, you may enjoy sin for a little while, and there may be a time that you... And there is pleasure in it, in the flesh. We might as well all be honest about it. There's pleasure in sin for a season. That season runs out. And it's over with, and the pleasure runs out. It doesn't last. And you know why people get on drugs? They start out on something light, and they start doing that, and it makes them feel better, so they're trying. After a while, they get used to that and want something else. It's got to get stronger, and something that make them feel better, and then that's got to get stronger. That's how people get strung out on cocaine and all that stuff. They didn't start out that way. They started out with something light, something less than that, and marijuana or something, but it kept progressing, and sin does the same thing. And let me tell you, it'll never really satisfy totally, completely. But some people are satisfied simply accepting the fact that they're living in sin and they're going to stay there. And as far as they're concerned, it's none of the preacher's business. But I got news for you. It is my business. Well, preacher, why is it your business if I'm lost and going to hell? Because God made it my business. Amen. I'm like the fellow that was a witness one time to a fellow. He said, it's none of your business whether I go to heaven or hell. And he said, yes, it is. He said, who made it your business? He said, God made it my business. That is my business. And it's my business, your business. If you're saved, if people go to hell or don't go to hell, that is our business. We're in the business of God. And occupy until he comes. We're taking care of his business until he gets back and gets us out of here. Amen. And so today, but some people are satisfied to live in that sin. Now, some folk belong to the church and they want to cover it up and make it look good on the outside. And they really don't care about church. They just want to look good. And maybe husband and wife wants to come. And so they go along with that. And they just there. But they don't think anything about picking up a dirty magazine and reading it. As long as certain people don't see them do it. It doesn't bother them. They can live like that. Or they may watch something on TV or on the computer and not bother them. And I'm not saying saved people can't do some of that, but I'm saying this, saved people can't do it without getting bothered. Amen. When it bothers you, that's a good sign. Amen. But I'm talking about living that kind, living in sin, and having that tucked away in the refrigerator nobody else knows about, and drinking when nobody's around. My business. Nobody needs to know about that. Well, it's God's business, and God made it my business. And so the day I'm preaching against sin. And somebody said something about the preacher when they didn't go to church. Asked the other person, said, "What did the preacher preach about today?" Said, "He preached about sin." Said, "Well, what did he say about it?" Said, "I believe he's against it." When you leave here today, I want you to know I'm against it. Amen. I'm not for it. I'm against it. But I want you to turn with me, please, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and verse number 14. I want you to see this about the natural man. That's true of people that's unsaved. They're still in the natural. And notice what it says about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." He's saying about the natural man, he can't understand that spiritual stuff. And it's foolishness to him. Bible talks about that as foolishness to the world for us to preach. What I'm doing today, as far as the world's concerned, unsaved are concerned, it's foolish for a man to get up and preach. And it's foolish about spiritual things. If somebody raised their hand, praise God, the unsaved natural man, that's foolish. And if somebody had a shouting spell, as far as this world's concerned, it's a foolish thing. But it's pleasing unto God. Amen. And what the world thinks is foolish and what God thinks is foolish is two different things. God doesn't think like we think, and his ways are not our ways. And so praise unto him is always in order when it's praising unto him and giving him glory and honor. But the world doesn't understand that. Unsaved don't understand that. Unsaved come to the house of God, and they think you ought to get up and make a good speech and say something positive and make everybody feel good and go to the house at 12 o'clock. But that's not how God thinks. And God don't go by our timetable. And 12 o'clock may come and go and God not be through. So it doesn't make any difference about what time it is nor about all that stuff. It makes a difference about whether or not we're hearing from heaven. And God's got something for us. That makes a difference. Amen. And so today, I'm asking you a question. What are you satisfied with? Are you satisfied just to live in sin and go ahead with the sin and not let it bother you? And just go ahead and live that life and go to hell without God. You're satisfied with that. And you say, "Oh, preacher, I believe." No, if you really believe, you do something about it. A person that says, "I believe that there is a hell and there is a heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe he died on the cross of Calvary for my sin. And that he was buried and rose again the third day. Ascended back unto the Father, sitting at the right hand to make intercession for me." I really believe that. If you really believe that, you'll do something about it. You can't really believe that and go on your way. People that say they believe that and they're still lost, they don't really believe it. They may say they do, they don't really believe it. That back in their mind somewhere and in their heart, they're thinking, "I'll get by. I'm not really going to go to hell. I'm not really going to burn there." You say, "Preacher, you believe there's a hell?" I believe there's a hell. I believe it's a real hell. People go to hell that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you really believe there's a hell and really believe you're going to go there, I believe it'll bother you. The Holy Ghost will make it real to you. And that's the only way it's going to bother you is for the Holy Ghost to make it real. But I believe as I preach today, the Holy Ghost can make it real, will make it real. And somebody sitting in this house, they need to get saved and born in the family of God. God may be passing by today and making it real to you so you can be saved and born in the family of God. This may be your day. And you come to the house of God on a beautiful Sunday day, and you just come in, meant to come in, slip out, and go on your business. But God somehow is getting in it in your heart. You better thank God he is. And then as he does and he opens up to you and that you realize you're lost and going to hell, then you need to repent and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, "Preacher, just as soon as I get some things straightened out, I'll get saved." You don't get things straightened out and get saved. You get saved and let God straighten it out. Well, preacher, just sure as soon as I turn over a new leaf, find out if I can live for God or not, I'll get saved. No, that's not how it happens, because you can't live for God. And God has to live in you and through you for you to even come close to pleasing God. You can't do that on your own energy, your own power. You don't know enough to live for God. And you don't have the strength to live for God. Your flesh is too weak to live for God. And you're too wicked to live for God. I am too. I can't live for God in my own flesh, my own self, my own ways. I simply can't do that. I must have God to do something in my heart, in my life, to make me live for God. And so today, are you satisfied with that kind of life? That's how you're going to live and die and go to hell? If that's your satisfaction today, I'm warning you about it. God's warning you about it. And you need to heed the warning of God. God's not obligated to warn you anymore about it. God's warning you today. God's telling you today. God's getting your attention today. God's dealing with your heart today. Today's the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Amen. People that sat in church, heard preaching, had the opportunity, said no to it, and died and went to hell, and screaming in hell today, and would give 10,000 worlds if they could sit where you sit and hear what you say. Are hearing and hearing the have the privilege to hear the songs you've heard and the preaching of the Word of God that you've already heard today. If they had that privilege, they'd give all the worlds they are that they could sit one time in the house of God and hear that. You say, preacher, I've heard that over and over. You better hear it again today. If you're really saved, that's an old story, but it never grows old. Amen. It's still fresh in my heart that Jesus saves. It's still fresh in my heart, thank God, I'm not going to have to go to hell. It's still fresh in my heart that Jesus went to Calvary and took my place and paid my price and shed his blood. Holy God loved me enough to come down from heaven and go to the cross and save me. I say hallelujah. I'm glad today report to you it's real. It's real. It's real, it's real. Amen. It's not polylop time. It's not time to just get through and get by. Let's get down serious business about it. Are you really saved? God's speaking to your heart today. God dealing with your life today. Don't you quench the Spirit of God. Don't you push him aside and say, not today, not today, not today. Don't you let anybody else influence you. And think that, and they'll tell you, you made a profession, you did this, and you did that. If you didn't really get saved, you're going to go to hell. And you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I believe, as much as I believe I'm standing in this pulpit preaching today, that God Almighty, I laid something on my heart to preach, and that God said, preach it, and I'm trying to do it. And some people are satisfied, and they've been convinced it's all right, just go that way. God's going to just overlook my being born again. It's going to be okay. That's just not so. You must be born again. I come to you, put my arms around you, and make you get saved. I wish I could just do it for you, but I cannot do that. God has to do that. And these people sitting in this house, adult people that are lost, never been born again. As young folks sitting here, never been born again. Children in the house of God, never been born again. That God's speaking to, God dealing with, and need to hear this today and get born in the family of God. You say, preacher told me a long time ago, if I just say these words, I get saved. Saying words don't make you saved. It takes a work of God to make you saved. Amen, saying certain words or doing certain things, getting baptized, that don't make you saved. Getting born in the family of God makes you saved. You, preacher, you really believe that, don't you? I believe it with all my heart. I'd lay down my life on it. I have a strong conviction about that. And would lay down my life on it that Jesus Christ is the only way there is to go to heaven. Amen. Number two, some people that are satisfied with the Son. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me qualify that statement. I'm talking about being saved, having the Son of God in their life. I realize he is a satisfying one in our life. He does satisfy. But some people are satisfied with saying, I'm saved, but they never grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Hey, some people have been saved for years, and they're still babes in Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Listen to what it says. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So now some like babies. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, and walk as men? And then he said, one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. And ye, are you not carnal? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministered by whom ye believed, even the Lord gave to every man. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to park here a few minutes and preach, if God will help me do so. I'm concerned about this thing that we get down to business about where we are as Christian people, saved people. We're saved, born again, joined the church, got baptized, and now we're in that position, and I've been preaching, thinking about the church, and I still got the church on my mind. I'm concerned about the church. I want the church to grow. I want the church to be vibrant. I want the church to win souls. I want the church, and that's all of us, amen? That's all of us together. But have you ever noticed Bible camps coming up? And I'm glad for it. I'm thankful we have Bible camps. That's a special time. People get special help at Bible camp. Thank God for it. But then we have Jubilee. And boy, we all get excited about Jubilee. And that's well and great. Thank God for Jubilee. I love Jubilee. And I think about it and I say, God help me. I get ready for it. And the fact is, I talked about somebody just the other day about Jubilee 2011. If we're still here, you don't have what we have in January and plan it 6 months ahead or 2 months ahead. It takes time and pray. But I never mind about all that. But what I'm saying is, isn't it wonderful what happens in Jubilee? Isn't it wonderful what happens during that time? But my concern is, what happens afterwards? What happens after Bible camp? What happens after? Well, we get back. Well, we got the same old preacher, and he's saying the same old thing. Well, there's nothing new under heaven to say. The only thing is, somebody comes in new. Fact is, you just hadn't heard them. They've told the same stories over and over. You just hadn't heard it. That's all. And they speak the same message. The only thing is, you hadn't heard it. And you know, and then you have preachers come in, and certain preachers come, boy, we're going to come here then, but some other preacher come in, we're not going to come. Fact is, you're going to have, we got a missionary here tonight, and I don't know, he may be going to preach tonight, I don't know yet. I'm praying about that, I'm thinking about that. But if I told you he was, maybe some of y'all wouldn't even show up. And we go to church on according to what's happening. Oh, me. Preacher, you're meddling this morning. I'm going to meddle a little bit more. Amen. We make it on a convenience thing, you know. It all depends on what's going on, what's happening, and if there's no little league ball game, or they not something else is more important than going to church, then we might be there. Amen. Amen. Y'all shake your head. Amen. And say amen, praise God, and hallelujah. But I'm talking about amen. And then we have Sunday school at 10:00. And if everybody in this house had come to Sunday school, we'd have had a whole lot more in Sunday school. You say, preacher, that's none of your, God made it my business. Amen, about coming to Sunday school. You say, preacher, you believe y'all come to Sunday school? I believe y'all come to Sunday school. God said y'all have teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Some of you look pale. Amen. And don't pass out on me. I'm not through yet. Amen. And we say, preacher, y'all not preach like that. You're running them off. Well, they've been here lately, going anyhow, so it don't make much difference. I'm going to be like Jesus said to his disciples one day. Will you also go away? I found out something else when I read that scripture. Jesus didn't say, let's run and get them. They all left us. Let's run and get them. We gotta go get them crowd. We got to pacify them, put a pacifier in the mouth and get them pacified and get them come back. Is that what God said to do? I believe God just said preach and go on and stand in the truth, stand in the gap, make up the head. Hey, not play church, not play around with everything about God and just make it a simple little thing. Well, we come to church and we'll be there if it's convenient and we'll do right if it's all right. And sing in the choir. If you can sing, you ought to get in the choir. If you're living for God. Now, if you don't live for God, stay out. Hey, if you're backslid, just don't get in the choir, amen. But if you're going to live for God, get in the choir, amen, and stand for God, amen. And by the way, let me toss this in now while I'm at it. We have some standards around the church, and women dress like women, men look like men, amen. And some people, they don't want to stand by the standards the church stands by. They think you're crazy when you try to preach them. Well, I'm still going to stand there, amen, and believe that's where we ought to stand. And we ought to respect the house of God. And when it comes time to pray, I'll not be going out in the vestibule, bunching out there. I ain't more out in the vestibule sometimes than they are in here. Preacher, you really will. I just about and reach the point where I don't. Well, never mind. But why, when you start to give an invitation, does people have to go to the bathroom? Or have to get a drink of water? If they're watching TV, they sit for 2 hours, never move. Come to the house of God, they got to run out. Now, I realize there's a time you got to go. I understand that. There's been times I had to leave the pulpit. And I'm not making a joke about it, just a fact of the truth. I'm trying to drive it home to you. There is a time that we have to go out. But we're living in a day and a time now that people take it so lightly. When it comes time to give invitation for people to get right with God, they don't care about that. It's time, well, we're going to run out to the vestibule and yak and gossip. Amen. And hang around the water fountain. And I've thought about sometime getting somebody to preach me, go out in the vestibule and just wait around as you come out and say, what's wrong with you? Right. Have my wife with me so she'd go with the ladies. I could go with the men and see what. That may not come out right, but anyway. It's getting close down to where we live anyhow. Yeah. Amen. And then sitting in church texting, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I said, you don't come to church to text message anybody. Turn that thing off. Amen. Now, if you've got a job, you're a policeman or a nurse or some kind of a medical thing, you got to have somebody get a hold of you. If somebody dies in your family, they'll get you after church. They'll get you later. Amen. They'll get you sometime. Y'all still with me? If y'all have left me already, I'm going to get you. Amen. Just hang with me because I'm trying to help you today. And we come to the house of God. We ought to come to the house of God to worship. Amen. Amen. We come here to praise God. Amen. Worship God. And then if a preacher preaches on certain things and people are going to pout about it, and you know, they well, I didn't like that. So what? I am like myself sometimes. Live my wife 51 years, sometimes I don't even like her. I know these times she don't like me. Because she said, why don't you go somewhere? She didn't mean to leave her. She just meant to go somewhere and get out of her hair. Just being truthful. As you marry 51 years, you'll find out. Rest of you lying about it anyhow. Amen. But I'm concerned about the house of God. We come to church. Amen. We ought to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Amen. And then this crowd that they don't believe right and they don't do right and preachers say something. Well, preacher, y'all not say that. Well, why shouldn't he say it? If he don't say it, somebody ought to say it. And by the way, we're not Protestants. We never did come out of the Catholic Church. Never was in it. Amen. Protestants are those that came out of the Catholic Church. Amen. We're not Protestant. We're Baptist. Amen. Somebody say, are you glad you're a Baptist? I'm glad I'm a Baptist. They some Baptists, I'm not so glad they're Baptist, but I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Say, preacher, you believe Baptists only one's going to heaven? I don't. They some Baptists not even going. Amen. They some other denomination not going. They some others going. But I'm trying to tell you today, though, that we are trying to preach truth, trying to stand for right, trying to do what's right. And folk get all messed up over every little old thing coming by. And if there's gossip going on, you say, preacher, you're on that thing, ain't you? I am. If you're going to talk about something, talk about the Lord. Talk about how good God is. Amen. There's every one of you got some faults. You want me to tell you about them? You're not worth a flip. I'm not worth a flip. But Jesus is good. He loved every one of us. And he helps us, amen. Well, I guess I ought to go on, finish up, and you say amen to that, I know. But anyway, the third one, some are satisfied being real servant of the Lord Jesus. That is, they'll change their plans so they can help the church. They'll do whatever they can do to be a blessing to the church. There'll be people take off from work so they can help the church. There'll be people say, I'll teach, I'll sing in the choir, I'll do this, I'll be a part. I'm going to do everything I can to help the church. Thank God for that crowd. We got some of that crowd around here too. Amen. And I praise God for it. They try to get people to come. They want to see people get saved. They're concerned when an invitation time comes. They really get it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to quit. I am going to try to hush here in a minute. I just had some things on my heart God laid there. And I felt like we need to say today. And this, you say, preacher, now let me tell you, that scribe sitting there, and I'm getting back to scripture now, the scribe sitting over there, they murmured and said, who can forgive sins but God only? Verse 7, I believe it was, verse 6. And they're saying, who can forgive sins but God? They didn't believe that Jesus was Christ. He didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe that. That crowd's not saved. And then there was the whole crowd there, the press, the Bible says, and the four that were bringing the one to Jesus, they couldn't get him to Jesus because of the other crowd. Sometimes people can't get saved because all the other crowd is talking about everything else and not paying attention, not praying, not in an attitude of worship so these people can get saved. I believe if people come in the house of God that would get saved sometimes if the Spirit was right and the Holy Ghost was moving right, but he's quenched because the people that are saved are not letting him have his way. And that's a hindrance. Now, the crowd was hindering people getting to Jesus. But they was four people. They was concerned enough. They were going to get that man to Jesus. They paid no attention to that crowd. They said, we're going to get him to Jesus. And went up on the roof, took it off, let him down before them. And they believed that Jesus was going to do something. That crowd out there, they wanted to hear Jesus preach. They wanted to hear him, see him do his miracles. They wanted all of that. But they didn't care about bringing somebody else. But these four wanted to bring somebody to Christ. And they believed that and they let him down. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, see the Paul's son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus and thank you for the privilege that we have to look in the Word of God, to ask you to help us, let you help us. God, thinking about the preciousness of this precious book. Lord, these four that brought the one to Jesus, the whole crowd out there was in the way. But then these four, they were determined by the grace of God to get him to Jesus. And they did. Lord Jesus did the saving. I pray today we get our hearts set on getting people to Jesus. That we get so concerned about getting people to Jesus and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he can forgive sins and does forgive sins. And today, Father, maybe those here today that are lost, they're without God, they need to get saved. I pray today be the day, the invitation, the time, that they'll say no to the devil and yes to Jesus. And they'll come and trust Christ. I pray for those, God, that maybe you're dealing with, and the devil keeps telling them, well, you're a church member, you this, you're that. But Lord, you're dealing with them. They need to come. I pray they'll come. Then there are those here that they're saved, but they realize they're not really concerned. They're not really growing in grace. They're not really where they need to be with God. They need to come. I pray the Holy Spirit do a work in their heart. Then, Father, help all of us, God, to be servants that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.